Welcome to This Black Girl Podcast. It is your host, Ola.Miss.Lola, Ola without the H. Don't forget it. You can find me on IG. And I am joined by my lovely, I guess, step in, partially co-host at this point.
I'm here to take the jobs.
Stop this. You see the social climate here? Come and invade Black people's spaces.
Gentrification.
I'm sick. Anyways, it is our favorite ally, the Mister. We love him here. Don't worry. and we have a few topics today that we want to talk about. For the most part, I want to disclose that obviously it's a serious topic. And I guess where we're going to be kind of coming from the angle of like analysis, because at the end of the day, like there's just been loss and no profit. And we don't want to trivialize a subject that has to do with loss of life.
For sure. Right. Like we're definitely gonna be talking about a few things in the news that are legitimate tragedies with,
with respect to a number of people, but we're going to get into that. So, okay, which way do you want to go first? Because there's two specific incidences we want to talk about and address, but which one do you want to do first?
Well, I mean, I think we should do reverse chronological, go with the clickbait part first.
Oh, I'm dead. You see, gentrification. Okay, anyways. So, for anybody who has been living under a rock, doesn't look on Twitter, doesn't look on Instagram, doesn't look on YouTube, doesn't look on social media, doesn't look in the newspaper, doesn't listen to the news. Like, if you have no zero contact whatsoever, then obviously you have not heard about a recent incident that happened in Texas a few days ago. The American rapper known as Travis Scott, people know him as Kylie Jenner's baby father, but he's actually a whole artist before that. He was performing at his self-titled festival, Astroworld, in Texas, where there was an attendance of about 50,000 patrons, and there was a lot of, I don't even want to call it ruckus, but it was just like a lot of raging, a lot of storming.
It was a very unruly crowd, like a lot of mosh pits. Yeah, there was rushing the stage.
Right, there was just like
big mobs of people running.
Big mobs of people acting up with no behavior, and unfortunately, due to this, there was a number of people who were injured. At least dozens of people who were injured, and 8 people confirmed who are dead. Now, with something that happens like this and the size of it, because like we've been talking about it for a few days now, just between him and myself, and where I like my eye and my, I guess my headspace has always been like, as an event planner, like in my, I guess, former paths of my life, I was an event planner, planning events for thousands of people to attend. It was not in the entertainment industry, so I've never had to worry about escalating violence due to euphoria.
Let's just call a spade a spade. There's a lot of drugs. There's a lot of drugs at these concerts. There's a lot of drugs there. And well, there's not lot of drugs at other kinds of events. And that's like a huge X factor in the situation.
Well, I don't even want to just amount it and just sum it up as drugs, the end. But I don't have to deal with those types of liabilities when I do my events. Whereas something obviously with entertainment, you have to be conscientious of things like that. Like there was comments apparently about somebody going around injecting people with drugs, and I was like, excuse me. There were people being pushed over, trampled as young as 9 years old. Just that caption alone confuses me, because I'm thinking to myself, what the fuck is a 9-year-old doing at a Travis Scott concert, like, at a music festival?
this, so like, I think we're gonna have to, I'm hoping to get into this like a little bit further in conversation as well, but there needs to be like serious questions asked, and people can't be stupid and act like they're not living in reality. Like, even what I was saying before about drugs, like, even if it's just like pot, alcohol, and like, I don't know, MDMA or something.
Yeah, like Molly, they're
not,
whatever.
They're not doing coke on each other or whatever, right? It's just like the standard stuff you would expect at almost any music festival.
You don't even need to be at a music festival. You can be at a club, at a nightclub. You know, those are given things you expect in the environment. But like,
so it's like if you're an event planner, you realistically know there's a very high percent chance of this happening. Is this even an all ages show? Like,
this is why I'm confused. Or
is this an all ages show where you know people are going to be doing this?
But this is why I'm confused, because it's like, wasn't an all ages event? If so, like, why wasn't there more security measures put in place because of, you know, the different age groups of people not knowing how to behave? Whose parents bought those tickets? Like, there's so many questions, and this is why, like, honestly, this episode, like, normally I don't announce titles and shows, but like, this episode is called Liability because the liability of just this whole situation is all over the map. The last thing I want to do is tell the parents of an injured child it's your fault why they were there, but as a parent, I have to ask the question, why the fuck was your child there? That, like, it makes no sense to me, like, why the child was put in that position to be there. But then, I don't know, maybe it's just myself to assume that, you know, at a concert, people can get rowdy, people can get wild. I've been at smaller concert events and been shoved back and forth, and have been pushed in this. And so it's like, I can imagine how crazy it was at that festival with 50,000 people. And like my other question, say your thought.
Yeah, and also not just people, but Travis Scott fans in particular. Because like, he has a history.
That's exactly what
he has a history of this kind of thing. And like, I'm not saying that, like, how much liability he has in this, honestly, is a question we're gonna be diving into a little bit. And I don't know if I have a clear-cut answer myself. But I will say that it selects for a certain kind of person. Like me, I haven't dived that much into Travis Scott's catalog, but if I knew he was doing this kind of stuff, I wouldn't go to his show. It's just not a spot for me. Like,
that's not your flavor.
I'm not a person who wants to go to a punk show so I can go around and throw fists in a mosh pit.
Yeah, like, that's not my flavor either.
And it's like, cool. And if everybody signed up for that, whatever, do what you're gonna do.
Yeah, like, honest, like, I'm that kind of concert goer or music participant, at least for myself. Even in the club, you are not going to find me trying to break a sweat nowhere. I'm gonna be sitting in VIP, legs crossed, minding my business, having my drink, enjoying my vibe, maybe singing along or whatever. But even just the thought of like going to a Beyonce concert.
Yeah.
I would never bring my child to a Beyonce concert.
Oh no.
At least until she's, I want to say at least maybe like 16 or so. Just because like, A, what she's singing about is not the most appropriate for a small child to be singing along. Am I guilty of playing my music when she's around and she hears it? Like, yeah, of course. Does she know who Beyonce is? Yeah, of course. But if she says to me, hey, mom, I want to see Beyonce in concert, I'm not going to take her. Because I know if something happens, I am liable for what happens. Right. I can't go around blaming Beyonce, suing her, because I let my child go to a place that she had no business being.
Right. That's very true. But honestly, in this particular situation with what happened in Astroworld, like, all those parents should be suing. All of them should be class action. All those people should all be suing. Because the real question here is, like, who's worse? Is it Live Nation for working with Travis Scott or Travis Scott for working with Live Nation?
Travis Scott for working with Live Nation.
Both of them have awful records. Like, Live Nation, like, when you're talking about security, how much security is there, I can tell you it's the minimum legally required.
Yeah, no,
is how many people are there.
Yeah, because that was the other thing I was going to touch on in terms of liability, because it's like, you can always, you can tell somebody don't go. If they're going to want to go, they're going to fucking go. But like, as an event producer, I'm surprised that Live Nation's not being talked about more than Travis Scott, because like at the end of the day, like as much as Travis goes out there and performs and tells people, yeah, rush the stage, security, don't do like, and telling security not to do their job and shit, he's not the one booking at the venues. He's not the one finalizing and booking security. He's not the one saying, oh, only book the minimum allowed security presence to be there.
And, they're not the one saying we're not gonna book you when you do shit like this. Like they're not gonna hardline them either because they want that cash.
Of course they want the cash. They're greedy. But that's what I'm saying. Like they're so in the wrong because like, yes, I'm sure he okayed certain things and went along with certain things because obviously he wants to make money too. They both have a vested interest. But like as an event producer, I don't know if it's like a slimy move to be like, well, he's the bigger name on the act. So if shit goes wrong, everything just falls on him and we can scurry away and produce another Firefest, or like what the real tea is. Because like I just, as myself, for like event, certified event management, I would never want this on my name. Like I would die. I would die. It would just be the worst ever.
Yeah.
The worst ever, because I feel like reputation is so important when it comes to something like this, and to know that like now in the future it's gonna be like Live Nation's known for hosting an event where multiple people died and several people were injured, including children.
Unfortunately, I don't see it going that way. I'm sure they're in the fine. which is definitely a very sad part of this.
Given that the friggin' headlines are pregnant Kylie Jenner was not injured during AstroWorld Festival. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, let's be real. The people at Live Nation are calling their contacts and their contacts are covering for them. Like, that's the reason like, why this gets reduced down to that.
Like, this is ridiculous. And then the other thing was that had me super confused was that somebody who's suing Travis and Live Nation, they're also suing Drake. And I was like, Drake? I was literally this whole support meme, like, Drake? Like, I was just like, where did this man get into the mix?
Okay,
like,
and this is how you know it's real, because I'm no fan of Drake, but honestly, let the man go. I think that's just the person running Scattershot. Like,
oh, they've just because he was very, on the stage.
Literally, that's the reason why. Like, they just had this very shocking experience.
Yeah.
And they just want to go, go, go. So they're running roughshod. Like, I'm sure he's not going to get anything. And that's the question here too with Travis, right? As far as I've heard, he's listed as a producer. He's supposed to be a producer.
It's his festival, yeah.
But how much of that is just a name?
And right.
How much of that falls down to Live Nation?
Right.
Because if it comes down to Live Nation, comes down to like, yeah, we provided the venue, but he said he was going to run security. I'm sorry, man. Like, I'm sorry.
Of course. Well, and that's why I'm saying, like, this whole question, this is a big question, study, understanding about liability. And I hate that it has to be done under the lens of multiple people have died and several people have been injured. Like, I hate that it has to be that lens. But when it comes to something like this, you have to factor it in, because like, yes, he produced it. It's because of, you know, with AstroWorld or whatever. And like people, you know, suing now Drake because he was on stage. So it's just like being associated with the event has now made you liable. The producers who produced the event should technically be liable.
Well, we don't know if Drake or Travis are liable. That's the thing. That hasn't been figured out. Like, they can definitely attempt, they can definitely sue, but that's ultimately going to be figured out in court, right?
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I think it would be very hard to throw Drake into this.
Oh, I think it would be, yeah,
he's
so
from
hard.
All accounts, just a performer that was there for a small amount of time.
Right.
So I don't know, maybe that's enough to make him like have to pay out a little bit, but I can't see him getting more than a slap on the wrist. I really don't think this is his fault.
Well, I feel like,
in fact, I think that if it comes out that like Travis Scott ultimately had more of like, mm-hmm. you know, a producer in title, but was mostly just a performer.
Yeah.
I feel like that's not the case. Cause honestly, like fucking the gate to AstroWorld was a big fucking thing of his head. I feel like, like, and also Travis Scott is just the kind of artist and talented enough to be the kind of dude that I feel like could put this kind of thing together.
Well, here, I was going to say, because like apparently the chief of police down there in Houston warned him about like, you know, this the whole event might be dangerous because...
Can I, Can I be honest?
Yeah.
I feel like the whole story's bullshit.
What, with the police?
Yeah.
Saying that they spoke to him beforehand and warned him, like, oh, people might be rowdy because of whatever, restless.
I feel like they might have just been like, oh, keep your head down out there or something, and now they're trying to call it out. Like, you're not gonna fucking, like, I'm not gonna fucking trust a cop's press release.
I mean, that's fair. That's very fair. I just find it so funny that it's like, oh, and pardon the hot take, but honestly, I need to say this with my whole chest. I find it incredibly ironic and hurtful at the same time. It's like very bittersweet that it's like, you got, no, I want to say you guys, because I know you guys aren't blaming nobody, but that people are so ready with pitchforks and torches to come at and to get at Travis Scott because it's his event, and his event incited and led up to these direct causes. But when a police officer is on the neck of a black man, choking him out directly, like cause and action right laid out in front of you, people want to give every excuse to him to not, oh, well, this was this. George Floyd was that. Like technically, Travis Scott's situation is like a domino effect of he has like very like high energy music. He tries to rally the crowd. The crowd is then rallying and they push people. People get trampled or somebody gets right. hurt. Like it's a domino. It's a series of unfortunate events that leads to that end result. And I find it wild that like you guys are ready to go up that ladder for him and to drag him down. But when the whole thing happened with George Floyd, like that was a direct cause and effect.
Well, and
the world is still trying to like make this man look bad.
Yeah, and I definitely feel like there's something to it because like I was talking about this with you before. Like, let's be real. Like, Elon Musk fucking opened up his factory in the middle of the pandemic and killed people. And like, who cares about that now? Like, that was the thing. He just opened it up. He did it against the lockdown. California even tried to take him to task for it. He weaseled his way out. Nothing bad happened. I'm sure people died there, but that's just swept under the rug. And that's the thing that I'd like is the saddest part of me is like, is anything going to happen to Live Nation? Of course not. It's going to get swept under the rug. We saw it happen for Elon Musk. They'll do it for Live Nation too.
I hate it. And the thing is, you like, because.
And the thing that sucks the most about it is like, people are mad and for fucking good fucking reason. Like, something went wrong, something fucked up. And somebody needs to fucking take the blame for it.
Well, because the last
there is something about the fact that when the person you can blame is a black man, everybody's up in arms.
I was gonna say, because like the last time people were enraged about people hurt at a concert was when that I can at least remember was with the Ariana Grande concert in London, where there was a fucking bomber who bombed the arena and people were injured. And I think some people were also killed, and it like, traumatized Ariana Grande for like years. but like, it's kind of hard if you, people were to put Live Nation in court to say like, to argue that, oh, people being injured and killed is a regular risk that comes with producing a concert. Because there's so many concerts that happen
and
that everybody comes home fine. Some I will say, is it reality to have injuries? Of course, for sure. But to lose your life? Wild.
And the thing that's the worst about it is they're gonna throw it back and they're gonna basically feign ignorance. Like, you and I know things that are obviously gonna happen at these kind of concerts. Live Nation, the biggest concert producers
on the planet,
apparently fucking don't. And I just can't believe that.
Of course.
Like, I'm sorry, I can't believe the fact that you think that you wouldn't need more paramedics there.
What's up with 500? It was like 550 security guards for 50,000 people. That's literally one security guard per 1,000. That's impossible to manage just off of those.
And look at the shit Live Nation does. Live Nation will do stuff like, I've heard stories of like Live Nation doing stuff like keeping only like warm water around so that way people have to like go buy bottles or go buy whatever sponsors.
Oh, that's gross. I could see
like,
that.
Usually they skip out and try to have the least amount of latrines that they would legally need, and like half the time they get stopped getting cleaned. Like,
yeah.
Live Nation is like just they're obviously skipping around all the edges, and it's hard. And like this obviously was at least partly the cause. Like it was at least part of the cause that led to this is right. The fact that Live Nation is clearly trying to cut the bill at every fucking corner.
And like the funny enough, I could be wrong, and I apologize in advance if I am wrong.
This is allegedly they're cutting corners.
No, not even that. Not even your statement. I'm saying my part is I'm pretty sure Live Nation partnered with Drake recently to open an event venue here in Toronto. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's the partnership.
Yeah.
And I'm like, now, especially after this, I'm like, oh. Like,
Mr. Drake, sir, I'm not a huge fan of your music, but if you drop Live Nation with your contract with them, that would be a pretty cool move. That would have to. I'd really have to hold the L on that one as a hater. You'd really come at me as a hater with that move.
Shit. Yeah, no.
I really have to hold that L.
The newest live entertainment venue brought to you by Live Nation in collaboration with Drake. Fuck. Yeah.
It'd be really cool if you dropped that concert. It really, ooh.
Live Nation Ontario, specifically.
It really steamed my broccoli.
Oh, stop it! Honestly, I wish I could censor that shit. Oh my gosh. Anyways, okay, so for all of my lovely Spotify listeners, my question for this week is, who do you think should be held responsible for the tragedy and series of events that happened at Live Nation? Should it be just Travis Scott as his own person? Should it be Live Nation as an organization and as a company? Should it be them jointly? Should it be Drake? I don't know. Like, but the options are down below. Participate with us. Let us know who you think should be held, I guess, holding the bag for this issue. Just because, I don't know. For me, I feel like there's a lot of things that went wrong. And the one thing for myself, at least, that I've been taught, when it comes to event planning, you plan for Murphy's Law. Expect that anything that could go wrong will go wrong. And you plan in advance to manage those curveballs. Because, like, just like you said, like the least amount of washrooms, the shitty cheap ass barricades. Okay, right. There are bigger, tougher barricades in Toronto and Carabana's happening, and Carabana doesn't have that many people. Toronto people know friggin' 12-foot barricades, okay, and that people are still scaling to come bust the wine and do whatever. Nobody's moshing. We're just literally dancing, and they have stronger barricades and the entire police force out on us to make sure that we can't catch a wine in a bubble. So, wow. But yeah, so let us know what you think. Share your opinion. At the end of the day, first and foremost, I do want to give my condolences to the people and the families who have been affected by this. Because at the end of the day, like I said, I didn't want to trivialize the fact that people were injured and people are dead. And that definitely is very heartbreaking. And so with that, I give my deepest condolences.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely very heartbreaking.
The second topic that we wanted to mainly focus on this episode to talk about that also has to do with liability is the recent events that happened on the movie set of Rust. It is specifically, well, you can correct me because you're more into this than I am, but yeah. It is supposed to be a Western film that was executively produced by Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, that's one of the interesting parallels between the Travis Scott situation and this situation.
Yeah, is that the lead actor or the lead talent is also a credited producer to the event.
Right.
So he is the lead actor as well as the executive producer for this movie. It was a Western-based movie, and they had a number of guns on set with
prop and blank bullets. And during one of the scenes where Alec had to point the gun at the camera, it was presumed to have had blanks in it. It did not. And therefore, the gun fired and it shot two people. One was a director. And who's the other one?
The other one is a cinematographer, okay. Helena Hutchins.
Yeah, so it shot the director and it shot the cinematographer. The director was injured, but the cinematographer was actually killed.
Yeah.
So that was a big thing for a while before Astroworld became a bigger thing. Because the questions were being asked, well, who's responsible? Is Alec responsible because he shot the gun? And it's kind of hard to say because he's shooting the gun, assuming that the gun had blanks. So then it's like, well, what about the people on set? What was going on there? And then apparently, allegedly, there was a lot of conversation being brought up that there was a lot of safety concerns on set that were being brought to producers and being brought to the appropriate sources to address it and were being neglected.
Yeah, apparently some people who were in the rank and file working on set brought forth some concerns, and apparently they felt like the higher ups didn't do enough, and I believe they walked out.
Yeah.
They hired on some new people, they were non-union, to fill the roles, and then the tragedy struck.
And okay, well, what I want to specifically address, because like everyone kind of glosses over the fact of having the regular staff and the non-union staff come being brought on. Can you at least explain the difference, especially with the whole negotiations that happened with IATSE recently? What is the difference between unionized staff with IATSE and non-union staff?
Yeah, so definitely part of the reason why this story blew up is because of the strikes that were happening just recently before that.
Yeah.
Hopefully still ongoing, but we'll see. The difference between the staff, your union people are just going to have way more experience. It's a lot harder and you're going to find it a lot more difficult to find non-union jobs in almost any section of North America.
In film. Okay, in TV and film. You have to be specific.
Yeah, sorry. In TV and film. Like, most of the time, IATSE and other unions will control the vast majority or the lion's share of all the filming that's going to be going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's by design because they need to have as many people as they can get to in order to get, like, good bargaining. You know, that's what the whole strike was about.
Right.
Definitely, like, it's hard to say. I don't want to speak out of pocket. It could be that these non-union people are like great people, whatever. And the people that were out were like new or whatever, and they were actually less experienced. Mm-hmm. But chances are the union people are just going to have more experience than the non-union people.
Right. Okay, fair enough. And then the questions was asked in regards to, with this situation in particular, the question was then asked, who was handling the guns? Who was handling the ammunition? They had an armorer on set, like somebody who was in charge of the weapons that they were using. The questions were then asked, well, how come real weapons are being used on set? Like, you know, because like we live in a world of post and a world of, you know, CG where you can.
Yeah, it's kind of wild that in this. Yeah, it's kind of wild that in this year of 2021. We're still just shooting bullets with no bullets in them in order to have guns fire on movies.
Yeah. You know? it goes back to liability, because it's like, all right, well, Alec Baldwin should have known that there was bullets in the gun. How the heck was he supposed to know?
Yeah, as far as he knew, he was cleared.
Right.
The question with Alec Baldwin in this and liability comes to like, how much did he turn down those safety concerns that were brought up?
Right, because apparently there was another rumor going on that people off, when they weren't working on set, were taking the guns that were then used on set to go, like, shoot cans or something.
Oh, that sounds like something they would do on set, though, to be honest.
Well, that's horrible. But I'm just saying, like...
Well, like, it's just, honestly, it's like the kind of people when we're talking about how some of these people walked off set,
yeah,
these are not like delicate little flowers. Like people who work on set are people who are holding heavy equipment for like 14 hours a day. Right. These are rowdy, like I want to say rowdy rough boys or whatever, like Powerpuff Girls, Powerpuff Girls here. But these are, you know what I mean? Like these are like fucking beer drinking, red meat eating men,
right?
Men and women.
Right.
Who are out here working these kind of jobs.
Laborious jobs.
It would take them a legitimate concern to walk off set. They wouldn't just cause a stink and do whatever. There's no way.
Yeah. Well, now everything's slowly being brought to court and people are being questioned and stuff and being brought in during discovery. I believe the armorer's lawyer is trying to imply that somehow live, because apparently they claimed that the guns are being checked on set multiple times a day to make sure that they're clear and that they're, you know, it's something else, some other term to determine whether the gun had like blanks and was clear or if it had live ammunition and it's not clear.
Yeah, like if you have a gun on set, they would like hand it to somebody and people would announce, hey, there's a gun on set. Yes. Yeah. Like they would announce that as they bring it in. They would announce it as they give it to the director.
Yeah.
This is like one of the things they do. You know, they shout commands to everybody. Like if you're going to start filming, this is a normal thing that happens on set. And they have specific ones for you dealing with weapons because like shit's dangerous,
of course. But the lawyer is trying to imply the possibility exists that live ammunition was mixed with blanks, because you know the armor one, and I want to believe that she was doing her job and ensuring that, you know, weapons and inventory was accounted for, but due to this allegation of people shooting like the guns afterwards on set and shooting off cans or whatever, that she's the allegation is possibly union members put live ammunition with blanks, just threw them all together, and when they were loading for takes, it just happened to be in there, allegedly.
That's wild.
Right? Isn't that a stretch?
That's wild.
You never heard this?
I heard that.
That is wild to hear.
Dude, that does not sound like a good lawyer to me. This guy's in trouble.
What an allegation, you know?
To just come out with almost no evidence and allegation like that, I would be like,
because I forget, somebody asked, I think it was the prosecutor who asked a question, like I don't want to say cross-examination question because they weren't questioning her, but they were talking to the lawyer. They're like, oh, like how plausible do you think that is, or something like something to that line. And the lawyer's like, oh, well, anything's possible. And I'm like, this is not a Nike ad, like stop. Like, you're talking about somebody who lost their life at work.
Yeah,
you know, like you're doing your job and your family expects you home, and it's like, as a person who works with a partner in the film industry and witnesses the long days and the long hours that you work sometimes, and like, I miss you. I look forward to when you come home. And I've been enjoying the fact that you've been working from home. So the fact that, like, obviously, thankfully wouldn't happen in your department, but to know the possibility of, like, you go to work one day and you just don't come home because of some kind of accident, somebody's negligence, somebody's lack of due diligence, breaks my heart.
And the real heartbreaking thing is that, like, this story obviously got a lot of play in the media for, you know, a host of different reasons.
Yeah.
But I'll say, like, I started working in film like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I think. And I believe two people have died in Ontario working in film since then.
Yeah, in the past 3 years.
Yeah, in the past 3 years. I believe it's two. One of them died on a show I was almost going to work on.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was Titans.
Oh.
Fun fact.
You're dropping names. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh my gosh. But anyways. But yeah, so I just, again, the question of liability is like, who should be liable, but now it's like the matter is just trying to find like the source, like how did that bullet get into the gun? Like that's the real question, because once you find out where the bullet came from, then you can address how it got there, because bullets don't get up and walk on their own,
right?
You know?
Yeah, and as much as I'm here saying that I feel like Alec Baldwin is at some fault, because I feel like he is. That's, you know, you're a producer, you have to wear that.
Well, he's at fault as a producer, not as the actor who pulled the trigger unknowingly.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say, is that I also feel for him, because like, you know, shooting a colleague dead is obviously traumatizing. Like I'm sure this has fucked him up in some way. This whole experience has probably fucked him up in some way. And that, like, I really feel for him. That really is awful.
And I feel like that's super important to differentiate, though, because I feel like a lot of what's published and put out in the media has been like, Alex Baldwin is liable because he's the one that shot the person. And it's like, no, he's not liable because he accidentally shot and killed his colleague. He's liable as a producer on the set for an environment to exist for that situation to happen.
And yeah, and to throw it back to the Travis Scott situation. Yeah,
the whole series of unfortunate fucking events.
Yeah, it's a similar situation there too, where like, I honestly don't know how much liability Travis Scott really has. It kind of depends, I feel like, on how much of a role of a producer he had.
Right.
Like in a similar capacity. But, you know, a lot of people are also talking in that situation, like, Alec Baldwin clearly had no idea what was going on and
to a certain extent, to
what was happening.
Yeah.
Travis Scott, like, stuff was happening. People were screaming. There was lots of stuff happening. There were alerts coming out from institutions like the hospital and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, well, I think the hospital already named it as like a multi-fatality thing, and he still played for 40 minutes.
Well, here's the thing that I find like super, like, and I say this not as a defense to him, but just like as a person, like I'm trying to put myself in his position. I could easily see people blocking that information from him so that he could still perform.
I
could definitely see that happening. And what I think is unfair has been a lot of the footage that's been going out where people are screaming like, stop the show, or they're trying to scream for help.
Yeah, you can't hear it.
He can't hear that. Like, it sounds super clear from us because we're listening to it from their perspective. But from his perspective, when there's a sea of 50,000 people, he's not going to hear that unless, like, literally 20 of the 50,000 was making that type of chant.
Yeah, it's hard to tell how much like he, as just being up there and performing, like,
yeah,
like could have noticed anything, right? But definitely the show could have, like, that's the other side of it, is like, definitely, like, there should have been some more security that could call in radios. There was someone who was like calling to a cameraman, whether or not they could hear him, whatever.
Oh, the cameraman heard her because I saw that clip. The cameraman heard her because he turned back. He looked at them and then turned back.
There's
two people there yelling and asking for help.
Yeah. And he like dude should have called in or something, like something should have happened.
Yeah.
And that's definitely a failure of the show. 100%.
For sure.
Yeah. There's definitely like, the problem is, if we're saying that there's failures in the show, then it's hard to know how much of like Travis Scott still performing and not knowing anything allegedly is also like a failure of the show.
I think it's definitely a failure of the show, but it's also a failure of his team, because like,
and it's also might also be a failure of Travis Scott.
Oh yeah,
it depends on how much a producer he is. Like, maybe he didn't hear it because he fucked up.
At the end of the day, he's part of the team.
Yeah.
Like I will never say that he's not liable for what happened that at that event, but I agree that how much he is liable is definitely up for question. Yeah. I think he has some responsibility, 100%, because unfortunately, aside from obviously inciting the crowd during the festival, he's known for, you know, encouraging people to be rowdy, encouraging civil disobedience, encouraging people to rush, you know, the stage and to rush security.
I mean, the worst I heard is that there was apparently some kid he encouraged like jump off a balcony and then he ended up like
paralyzed.
Yeah. Like seriously fucked up.
Yeah. And it's just like, you can't do that.
You can't do that.
You can't do that. Like, oh my gosh.
And the thing that sucks about it in like both of these situations mm-hmm. is like, honestly, there just needs to be more like legal punishment for this kind of shit. If there aren't standards that let people get away with having less security, there need to be forced to have more security.
Right.
Because like, this is not going to make Live Nation a better company. It's going to make it a better company for 3 months, and then it's going to worry about its money again.
Yeah, for sure. I 100% agree. But let's pivot, because again, very serious topic. At the end of the day, as much as we dissect and discuss and pick apart, like, somebody did lose their life.
Yeah.
Somebody was left injured on the set of Rust 2. And so,
yes.
Like, obviously, you know, the cinematographer, what's her name again?
Oh my gosh, I forgot it.
Anyways, while he looks it up, I can at least know, like, she was married, she had a husband, she had a child.
Helena Hutchins.
There you go, Helena Hutchins. Our thoughts and prayers are with her and her family.
For sure.
And with the director who is recovering from his gunshot wound.
Right.
I guess just to keep it on topic, but like lighten it up, because we talked about the worst case scenario. I want to talk about the best worst case scenario, which is the Twitch streamer Valkyrie or whatever releasing that stupid fucking skincare line.
Oh yeah, that shit. Like,
oh my gosh. Okay, so I'm not on Twitch. I'm joking. I'm on Twitch, but I don't stream on Twitch. But I'm on Twitch. I don't follow very many people, but I heard about this one streamer because she's super popular. Her name is Valkyrie. She came out recently with like a skincare line that she apparently tried to like.
Well, the marketing of the.
She tried to market it as the co-founder of the skincare product that she
right.
spent 2 years in development for.
She did do that.
Because, you know, this skincare line had special ingredients to help nourish and protect the skin from blue light rays. Blue light rays are known from, like, screen devices. They're supposed to be bad for your eyes. They're encouraged, like, there's been studies that encourage people to not stare at their screens, especially at night, because it keeps you up. It's hard to fall asleep. There's other reasons, too. Like, I personally wear glasses when I'm not wearing contacts, and they have that blue light blocker for that reason. It's supposed to reduce eye strain.
And also, blue light is also generated from the sun.
Yes.
It's also a thing just out there in the sunshine. It's not exclusively from your devices.
But a lot of it omits from your devices. A lot of devices now have the feature to turn it off.
Well, this is for sure. But this is one of the things that comes up in this story, is that like they marketed it as a way to protect yourself from blue light from your devices. But yeah. There's way more blue light just from the sun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So protect you from blue light, which can age you further, young and healthy and stuff like that. Claimed that there was published studies behind this, until people actually started taking up looking for those receipts, because they're like, we live in a digital world, girl. We are on everything says. They go looking for the receipts, only to find out that like there is no studies behind this.
Yeah.
And that like Mr. was saying, blue lights are everywhere, like the sun. Like, you literally can absorb as much blue light ray from the sun in 15 minutes that you can from your screens and devices in 2 to 3 years. So, like, I don't know. Maybe her angle should have been a bit different. Should have been to protect you from the blue rays outside when you leave the inside.
When you decide to touch grass and not stream anymore.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. But, again, people found the receipts. The studies were not conclusive. Some of them weren't peer-reviewed. And then there was like a small disclaimer on the website saying they're not liable for whatever marketing tools that they use to promote this product. Like, it was very, like, very sussy. And so the brand fell apart before it even got together.
Yeah.
It just literally fell apart before it got together. And she managed to, I guess, I don't want to say weasel her way out, but the way she was talking about it, it was like she weaseled her way out of a contract.
Yeah.
Because for some
apparently she didn't spend all that 2 years doing the...
Like, sis, just lied. That was a
in the skincare minds doing the research.
Like, I'm just saying, for 2 years of research, you obviously didn't do your research, which, like, at least to me, from my marketing head, tells me you were paid by a lab of a skincare, like a bigger skincare company, to say like, hey, we have this one. We believe that it can help with blue lights, your streamers, you're always on your screen. I feel like it would be a great marketing connection for you and I. We'll pay you this. We'll get it out in Ulta. You'll be the face of the brand.
And let's be real, this and
to be a co-founder for this.
And let's be real, Vacare is the kind of streamer that, like, honestly, this is probably like $1 million deal.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure.
So
sure.
It's like, she's, it's very tempting. Sure. Very for tempting, sure. So very lucrative deal.
Securing the bag and securing the agreement and, you know, pushing all this thing. But when the pushback happened, she tried, read through that contract, left, right, back, front, up, down, sideways, backwards to get out of it. And she was able to get out of it relatively penalty free. I feel like she may have had to give either her money back or forfeit maybe some of her money. Because, like, I wouldn't be surprised if someone like her got like a nice upfront payment and then like another payment once it's sold a certain amount.
Well, honestly, like, who even knows about what happened behind closed doors? Maybe it was,
this
maybe
is all allegations, speculation.
I mean, maybe it was that, not that she weaseled her way out, but that they straight up were like, listen, like, you damaged this woman's brand so much that she's gonna sue you for damages. Because apparently there's no legs to this table because you guys told her that you have studies, but you don't have studies.
Yeah, you had stuff to back it up and you didn't. Now you're trying to it's going to tarnish your rent. That's actually a really good angle that I could see her.
And then they could go, okay. Yeah, and then they're like, okay, fine. We're going to annul the contract. We both agree to dissolve it. She's out. We're out.
Yeah,
it's good,
like, don't worry about money back. Like, it's okay, whatever. But honestly, and I said this to you after everything seemed to have been resolved, I was just like, they are literally just going to, like, take the packaging off of this cosmetics, slap on a new packaging, and find a new face.
Yep. 1,000,000%.
100,000%. Like,
they're going to do the blue light thing with Gwyneth Paltrow, and it's going to be incredible.
Yes, it's going to come out with goop, and it's, absolutely incredible, because here's the thing. Even those faint blue light studies, screams boomer.
Oh,
screams,
yeah.
WhatsApp calls, like, those WhatsApp messages of, oh, my father's brother, sister's cousin said.
WhatsApp, Facebook. These are the articles that are being shared on Facebook now.
Yes, like, it's gonna be repackaged as one of those old, and like, not the drag boomers, because some people are great, but like, and it's definitely going to go towards an older demographic that's not going to look up the receipts the way younger people do. And I think that's the real problem. Was the problem her audience is very young.
Well, here's part of the thing too, is I remember listening somewhere where somebody was saying that it has part of this has to do with misogyny. Mm-hmm. And I actually do think that's true, because I feel like part of the reason why people went so hard to find these receipts is because, like, I am a person who hangs out more on Twitch.
Yeah.
And, like, I like to watch streamers and stuff. Yeah. But straight up, the community is, like, pretty toxic sometimes. And especially with women.
Yeah.
So I could definitely see her having hate watchers and haters who, as soon as they came out with this, they're like, how can we turn this into a weapon against her?
I mean, yeah, I can definitely see that being a thing. Do I see that being the focus? No. I honestly think it's literally misjudging your audience to just not look at the receipts. Like,
we are
literally a receipts generation. If there's no receipts, it doesn't exist.
Yeah, and
an older demographic does not really value that. They value more of a hearsay. Did you hear?
Yeah, and I'll say definitely that even if it is, like, haters that are, you know, misogynistic haters, they're digging this up. They were the spark that lit the fire, and there was a whole lot of fucking tinder there without them.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, with that being said, thank you guys for listening with us. Let us know again what you think. If you're on Spotify, if you're listening to this on Spotify, answer the poll. We want to know what you think. I actually do check them every week. Tell me what you think. If you have an idea of a topic that you want to hear myself talk about when our lovely Hell Diva's here talking about it, or even if the mister, you have a question for the mister, he lives here, ask a question, I'll ask him about it. But when you're not listening to us, follow us on Instagram at This Black Girl Podcast. If you still haven't tuned in yet, I've been promoting it on Instagram this week. Please tune in to On the Way Out with Keys Ali, my lovely friend down south, love you. We recorded a really great episode with Amanda and with Carter, and we just talk about relationships. We talk about certain things. We talk about my expensive ass haircut. Okay, here's my receipt, sir. Did you like your haircut?
It was probably one of the best haircuts I've ever gotten. And it had a facial too. It was great.
Okay. And that's why it was $140. I don't regret it.
I don't regret it either.
Of course you don't, because you were going to get it. But if you haven't tuned in, please tune in to Keys' show On the Way Out. There's just a few episodes left. I'm featured on episode 7, which is called The Gurus. And with that being said, I am your girl, Ola.Miss.Lola. And Mister, do you want to tell people where they can find you, or do you not care?
I don't care.
Go have to search hard then. Good luck. But with that being said, until the next one, bye.
Bye.